Hi, everybody. My name is Catherine Thornton, and I'm co-presenting.
Hi, my name is Lukas Bergmeister. I'm also co-presenting.
And we have several other collaborators. We are doing this work as part of the W3C community group for shape expressions. And so we wanted to acknowledge the other people that worked on the shapes that we'll be talking about today and these slides. So Eric Perdomo from the W3C, Andra, he'll be here in a few minutes. He'll be joining us after he finishes his other talk, and Greg from Scripps. Okay, so what are shape expressions? For anyone who is familiar with XML schema, you can think about shape expressions as a schema for RDF graphs. And so you can use shape expressions for a lot of different things. You can use them for model development. So when you are working through a shape expression, we use these in the Wikidata context to do data modeling for different domains. And basically, we create a model using the shape expression, and that forces us to figure out all of the properties that we are going to be using in the data model, and any qualifiers and references, and how those should be structured all together. Shape expressions can also be used for documentation. So you can communicate the data model for a domain that you're trying to communicate to other people through the shape expression itself. And this can be a useful way to communicate around what is going on in a data model. For legacy review, you can develop punch lists for existing data issues that need fixing. So let's say that you have already done a bunch of data entry or data upload into Wikidata, but then your group decides that you need to adjust the data model. Then you can use a shape expression to pull out any of the items and the related properties that you need to update and quickly find them by applying the shape expression. And then you'll be able to quickly see what you need to adjust in the data to get it up to date with where you're trying to go. For client pre-submission, this can be useful if before you do a bulk upload, you can verify the data that you're trying to do to make sure that it is in conformance with the shape expression before you go and do a mass upload. And shape expressions can also be used to transform your data into other data formats. And we'll go through and show you what the other formats are. And this image over here shows you an example from the bibliographic domain of the shape that we have established for what this subset of the graph should look like. So what you see here is a sample item, and we are able to specify using the BibFrame model from the bibliographic domain. We want to make sure that we have a BibFrame title, and so for this item, it's Oliver Twist. We want a BibFrame class, and this takes you out to a class from the Library of Congress. And so this is mapping to the Library of Congress classification for this work, which is Oliver Twist. And then we also want to make sure that we have our BibFrame creator for the work. And then we can specify that the BibFrame creator should be a person. And then in Wikidata, it's going to have the label here, Charles Dickens. So the representation on the left, you can see it over here on the right, written out as text as the actual shape. So if you look here in the shape expression, you'll see everything is all written out that we want the RDF type to be BibFrame text or BibFrame work, and that everything that you see over here is over here in the shape expression. Thanks, Lucas. Okay.
Okay. I'm actually not sure what the next slides are. So here we still have the data, either as a graph back here or in textual form on the right. And the text schema then describes how the graph should look. The schema won't have specific values like Oliver Twist in it, because it should apply to any work. But it will, for example, tell us that the title should be some string and not another entity. Okay, so here on the left we have a schema, I think. Do you want to know more about this? So we have saying a lot of things about the work. This describes how the data should look. It says, for example, the RDF type should be what did BF stand for again? Bib frame work, and it should have a bib frame title, which should be a literal, so a string. It doesn't say what the string looks like, but it should be a literal and not a URI. And the work should also have a bib frame class, which conforms to the shape called classification, which is described a bit further below. And it can have any number of such classes, but it shouldn't have any other class. And we're also saying that this work should have creators. It should have at least one creator, can have more than one, and each creator should either conform to the shape person or to the shape organization. And these shapes aren't defined in here right now. They just you can imagine what a person or an organization should be. And there should also be the work should be bibframe derived from something, where we don't say what the something is. It should just be any IRI. And it can be any number of IRIs, apparently. I'm not actually familiar with bibframe, so I'm not sure what the derived from means. Is that a work based on another work, I guess? Okay. And the classification, we also describe the shape of the classification, which should then appear up there in the BF class predicate. The classification should start with this prefix, HTTP ID, Library of Congress.gov, whatever. And at the end, it can probably have some specific identifier, but it should always be an IRI starting with the Library of Congress prefix. And then it should also have a type, bibframe LCC, and it should have a label, which should, again, be a literal. And so we're already seeing here that we can combine shapes to describe, we can build up shapes from other shapes, like we're using the person and organization and classification shapes inside work. And person and organization here sound like shapes that we could use in a lot of different contexts, not just for this work, but also perhaps for something else, which could also have a creator.
Okay, and then we want to test entity data against a shape expression to produce a validation result. And this flags what parts of the data are not in conformance with the shape. And that's just a snippet, and we'll show you more examples of this in a minute. And this works on the basis of a shape map. And shape maps designate the nodes that will be tested against the shape. And we can generate this shape map through a query. So shape expressions, you can also specify additional information about what you're expecting the data to look like. So do we need one or more of these, or do we just need one, exactly one? And then you can specify all of this through the shape. And then we can test the shape. Well, we can test the data against the shape. So through this, we can see which properties we are expecting and make sure that the properties have been used in the way that we want them to be used in the data model. So this is an example of what it looks like when you go through validation.
Okay, so here we have in the data on the upper right, two sample data items defined, one sample something and one sample something bad. One has the title Oliver Twist, which is a literal, which is okay because on the left we're specifying that the bibframe title should be a literal. And the second example has as a title not a literal, not some string, but instead this weird URI which ends in Oliver Twist but isn't a normal string, a piece of text. So it doesn't pass this validation, and the validation process tells it this in some form on the right. IRI found when literal expected, because the bibframe title should be a literal, and in this data set it's actually an IRI. So this is just an example of the where the data doesn't conform to the shape. It's up to you what that means. If you're testing your data, that probably means that your data isn't good, that there's some mistake in it that you should fix. If you're doing this client-side pre-ingestion validation, then that means you shouldn't upload this data set as it is to the server because it's incorrect. If you already have this data set on the server, then you need to figure out how to fix it. And, okay, what's the problem here? We have a third example, which has the type bibframe crow instead of work. So this now validates the shape on the left, which says that the type should be a bibframe work. So inside the what are called square brackets, you have can have one or more values, which is the list of expected values. So in this case, that's just saying the RDF type should always be a work, and on the right side, it's not a work, it's a crow, which is work backwards. So that's a violation because crow is not found in this set of permitted values, which in this case just contains work and nothing else. And here we're going a bit further. There's not actually a mistake on the work itself. There's a mistake on the class of the work, which should conform to the shape classification, but this nested data set now doesn't conform to that because the RDF type is incorrect and the label seems to be correct. Okay, so it's just the type because I'm not sure if everyone here is familiar with how familiar they are with RDF. This A on the up here is exactly equivalent to RDF type, which we see on the left side. That's an abbreviation. So this actually has the RDF type bibframe LCD, and it should be on the left LCC. I'm not sure if that would be a typo of the if those are actually two different classes in the. Wait, I think it's a typo. Okay, so in this case, it would be pretty easy to fix once you look at it, and you would correct that, and then the whole thing would validate. Oh, yes.
Hi, my name is Bine. So how does the system know that the samples is supposed to be a work? Because it doesn't say that in the data set, does it?
No.
Some of this is simulated data just for the purpose of highlighting some of the points. Mm-hmm. But in a real world example, okay, so there are some parts here that are left out. So I think it's just an incomplete example.
Okay.
I think the missing part is the shape map, right? I think that's the part that tells you what you're validating. Okay. And did we already do that? No? Okay, what's wrong with this one? Okay, so we're expecting something. Okay, I think this isn't quite ideal because on the left it should probably say classification instead of dot dot dot. But I think that's supposed to mean that a classification should be an IRI starting with this prefix, and then in place of the tilde can be anything, but it should start with authorities classification, and instead we just have authority slash PZ3, so the classification part is missing in the BF class above, and that's the problem in this case. And in the second case, bad B, the class is some anonymous node or blank node, I think it's called, so it doesn't have a proper IRI at all, and doesn't match this pattern for the IRI that's expected. And finally, okay, I think that's actually still the same error, where the authorities PZ3 doesn't match this, whether it's supposed to be dot 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 or whether it's supposed to be authorities slash whatever it was, but it doesn't, the URI doesn't start with the right value. And down here we're now also putting a few extra constraints on the classification. We're not just saying it should start with this prefix. We're also saying it should have the type bitframe LCC, and it should have some label, which is a literal. And in this case, what's the... Oh yeah, in the second one, we specified the class with a prefix, and then PZ3999, which is okay, which matches this prefix, but we just don't know anything else about this this IRI, so we're missing the information that this IRI has RDF type and it has a label, because it's just not in the dataset here. Perhaps the dataset is incomplete. Okay, there is nothing wrong here. Okay, so this is saying that the creator may be a person shape or an organization shape, and the validator just has to figure out which shape is the right one to match. So in the first example, the creator is a person, and in the second one, it's an organization, the Washington Post, and we're specifying different things for how persons look and for how organizations look. Persons should have this type person and should have a label, and that's it. Organizations should have the type organization, and they should have a label, and then also they can have any number of members, which are in turn, again, organizations and persons. And so we see here the Washington Post has two members, Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein. And if I knew more about US politics, I could probably say something about that. Presumably connected to Watergate. I don't know. Nixon last fall, sorry, sounds like that. I just don't know about enough. Yes.
So, thank you. My name is Daniel. I'm from the University of Southern California. So, if my data has extra properties rather than what I see in the shape, will still be validated?
Yes, any property you don't mention in the shape at all can appear as much as you want.
Okay, so it's like the minimum set of things that it has to have.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Excellent.
And any property that you do mention, that's restricted. So for the person shape, we're saying it should have RDF type BF person. So that means it's not allowed to have any other RDF type in addition to that. But for organization, I think that's what the extra RDF type means. The organization is allowed to have an extra type, like here, newspaper. Probably newspaper. So in this case, the shape says it must have at least the RDF type organization. It may also have other types as long as it has at least this one. Yes? I think that's a closed shape, right? I think so, yeah. You can write closed somewhere in the syntax, and then it doesn't accept any extra properties. But by default, extra properties are allowed. This is one of your examples, right, Andra? Welcome.
Yeah, so hi, my name is Andra Wachmeister. We are actually experimenting with shape expressions now. So I'm from the GeneWiki project. In the GeneWiki project, we're sourcing biomedicals. We have a myriad of issues in with issue one. One example is the famous one, or the infamous one, where genes and proteins, separate items, data, were merged into one, and then properties got merged. You have items where you have a start location on a data item, but you don't have the end location. Start location. Also, there are a lot of examples you can see. So, last year at SWOT4LS, got introduced to shape expressions, and I was like, okay, we're going to explore this space. And I'm currently writing a lot of shape expressions on the items we maintain, and I use the shape expression as a language. A typical workflow when we start with a new source is that we first draft a canonical example. So we select a Wikidata item on the topic, and we populate it as complete as possible. When we do that, you will immediately it will appear that there are no properties, that there are missing properties which need to be proposed. So the proposal process comes in, and then once that is in place, in Google Docs there is a diagram that's being on how the different items relate to context, and then from that diagram, this shape is drawn. And why do we want to have a shape expression? For example, you have things like just the example I gave. You can say a start location of a gene on a chromosome, not mandatory. However, if the start and the end locations are not mandatory, however, if one exists, you want to have the other shape expression. If you have that in a diagram, you just see two boxes and a line in between. You cannot express the cardinalities of the questions. You cannot say it. So then, go from the diagram to the shape expression, where you really specifically say the constraints on pairs of shapes. Here is one example. These are the prefixes, these are the namespaces that are coming, stating what the prefixes are in the Wikidata namespace. And here we say, well, the Wikidata item is a disease, and then the disease has an instance of, and it's an instance of a. Here we do expect that everyone, that every disease should have an instance. And then second to that, we want to express that a disease has a reference. We want to have a signal that when there is no reference, it should appear in the workflow. It should be a subclass of a Wikidata disease, because you have a hierarchy. And here we explain the shape. So a DOE reference like that, and pathology follows this pattern, and well, they can be as lengthy as you can. You can also iterate over Wikidata items. So, for example, if you have a variant and you want to include a disease and a gene, and you can link both to a different shape. So this is an example of simple checks, which is a one can use online, and this is a typical workflow. Identify one thing, one item. So here we have the Docker query. So here we were interested in having all the, right? Okay, let me go over it. So here we express that a Wikidata item on cancer should actually have a NCI, a specific identifier. And next to it, having it in Excel, we expect every item to follow this reference pattern. And then in this section, we obtain the data from a Sparkle endpoint. So we give our all subclasses of cancer. And then, go. So it obtained the data, and now it's validating this shape on the first 10 items. So this shape is okay. Here there is an issue. This item is missing the NCI identifier, and the rest is okay. Well, would there are examples if you increase it to 100, where the references more complex your shape is, the more complex your validation report. How do you write checks? There are three versions to write checks. There is check C, which is the format you have to where you write shape add in more into a form. And one you can the check C is then converted to check J, which is a JSON dump of actually. And there is a checks RDF version. And you can interchange formats. And there are quite some open source implementations available. We have Java, the ones we've just demonstrated is built on a JavaScript. There's a Ruby implementation, Scala implementation, Java, Python. Python is still immature, working on that more. We have extensive test suites, and we have a plugin Sublime to write shape expressions, and Jupyter Notebook is in the pipeline to write your checks and validate it. Checks, and there is a similar language which is called Shackle. It's similar to checks. Both have logical expressions and, or, and not. It is uses Shackle uses Sparkle rules language for constructing new tests, and it's implemented in a Red Composer. Where do they compare? Shex is like XML schema, and Shackle is like Schematron, but I'm not familiar with both. Ah, okay. Also a difference is Shackle evaluates expression individually. It goes over all the different expressions, while Shex is examines the whole whole. There is a book where it compares both quite nicely. And I guess we can wrap up by saying more than welcome to join. Community group on the Shex homepage. Primer, there's a check specification, and we have extensive discussion. Yes, that's
it. What do you think Wikidata should do with it?
Well, I want to counter the question. So there are different use cases I can think of. So currently, I'm experimenting running the shape expressions on any shape I can imagine. And ideally what then now I'm starting experimenting with that before.
That's like a plant because I got opinions. What I would like to see is, you were talking earlier about Wikidata as a hub in an ecosystem of data flowing around. And right now, Wikidata's vocabularies are not well understood by Wikidata people. It's kind of grown very organically. You got hundreds and hundreds of properties. Either we clean that up and make it into an ontology that many people use in the outside world, or we have to come up with mappings from schemas that are used in the outside world so we can bring data in from schema.org or Dublin Core or other languages. My intuition is that Shex could be really useful there, that we could write down a pattern that used schema.org or Dublin Core or FOF, and it's nice and tight and regular and disciplined, so the Wikidata coders would know what they were getting, and then they could turn it into Wikidata data when it arrives. Right now, if you know you're getting some FOF data, you don't really know what you're getting. It's a big, squiggly, horrible mess. And the same with schema. RDF data is just generally horrible and squiggly. And this is much more classical software engineering, nice, tight, rigorous data structure. So I think it will make it less traumatic to bring data into Wikidata.
So to add to that, for me, the big advantage is if we go to the data modeling, it's an iterative process. You make your first schema, then you have, because you're missing properties, for example. So you try to get an external source into Wikidata, but then there are missing properties. You can't get your properties proposed or through the proposal process. So you're dealing with issues. So you have to deal with what is now in Wikidata. Then you make up your, you start makes, okay, this is how we, what for this specific data source currently is, yeah, and it's lacking. So then things evolve, and suddenly there are multiple properties model. And then now we have to go back. We have to start a new, so data modeling, I mean, Dario said it nicely this morning, data modeling in Wikidata sucks. And because what you have to do is you have to go back to an empty document and say, okay, what did we do? And then you have to go, and usually this is 4 to 6 months later, and you have to go to your own notes, and you're like, okay, what did I mean there? And so I think that checks can be helpful there, is where you actually say, okay, this is how we see it now. This is what you distribute to the community, to your bot developers, to Wikidata. And there is new iteration, so you make an adaptation, a new version of your shape expression. So that's the modeling part, is how do you deal with the modeling of your data into Wikidata. The second part is once you have the shapes set, you can use those for your validation. And where that needs to happen, I think that's up for discussion. So ideally, I would see this magically Wikidata API, where I just feed my query, and my feed a Spark query and my shape, and then it will just generate a report for me, similar to what I've previously shown. Like this doesn't fit your shape, or this does, and here are the issues. And next thing, I spoke to Daniel Mitchin 2 weeks ago, and he says, I think that's quite interesting. He says we should actually, because shape expressions, writing shape expressions is still intimidating, and is only for people who basically have a computer science education, is if we can actually get writing shape expressions in a Wikidata template. So that you have the communication working in Wikidata and not in a shape expression itself. But I think that's work in progress and where it needs discussion. But if we could manage to get the editing of the shape expressions in a Wikidata style or in a Wikidata format or ENSO, that would be really interesting.
Please go ahead. Okay. So it's continuous to the previous question. I feel like what we could do, I mean, it's something that I'm thinking, like we could have something separate page for the shape expressions and link something like the properties for this type should follow, or it should be a shape expression and it should follow these things. Like right now what we do, for example, a software or a programming language, we go to this particular the page and we have properties for this type and we have all the things. What could be possible is a new property could be shape expression, which points to an URL, an external or internal website, and then we could validate it every time when we add the thing. It's a possible option.
Thanks for the talk. It's a very interesting idea. I wanted to ask you two things. Well, one is not really a question. Actually, regarding the fact of writing like shape expressions in Wikidata language, like, and I was thinking today, I was talking with another participant about projects, and very often in Wikidata projects, how a certain item should be defined is already described. So it would be interesting to start from these descriptions and translate it into shape expressions if it's possible. But my question was actually, and forgive my ignorance, what would be the difference between using this type of validation and having an ontology and applying a reasoner to check inconsistencies or...
Very good question, but the thing is, in ontology, and I'm going to quote the author who is not in the room here. It's Eric Prodomo, and he said when you use ontologies, you describe the world, and when you use shape expressions, you describe the data. And what it means there is, for example, if you have a person, you can say a person always has two biological parents, but that might not appear up in the data. Does that mean that your data is incorrect? No. So then you need, and how do you model that? And then shape expression is specifically to model those data constraints on your data and not on the actual facts that's being represented there. But there is indeed in Wageningen University, there's Jesse van Dam, and Jesse van Dam is specifically working on bridging ontologies from, I think, Protégé, in converting from an OWL file into shape expression. But that's, so that the people are working on that. But
thank you very much.
Hi, thanks for the talk. I'm David Fichtmüller from the Botanic Garden, Botanical Museum here in Berlin. And I wanted to ask, what's the status of SHAPE as a community group? What is the current development? Because when I looked at it prior to the conference as preparation, I noticed that some things seem to be a bit old, just like at the bottom there, 2005 till 2010, but then some things also seem quite new. So is it an old development that has gotten traction again, or what's the status?
It's an ongoing project, and so I'm surprised you said if there is one pointer there that's referring to old data. So indeed there are there is Shex 1.0. And we are now at Shex 2.0, and so there are implementations for the first, and but actually all these links should be to the most accurate pointer. So if that's not the case,
that is just about the slide framework that we use to make these slides. Sorry for the confusion.
Yeah, but I've seen other projects where they had like nice conceptual ideas that never really took off and ended up being stranded, and occasionally when you look up it a couple of years later. So this was a kind of a warning flag for me, then misunderstanding, sorry.
We need to remove that. So maybe also a bit of disclaimer here. I'm part of a Shex community now, but I'm neither Wikidata nor Shex. I got introduced, or I'm part of the GeneWiki team. We are grateful for Wikidata to create some awesome infrastructure, and we are using it. So that's the position. And then I went to a conference in Amsterdam last year, which was SWOT4LS, and there I was introduced to shape expressions. I was like, okay, this is what we need. And since then we started developing. So everything that precedes 2000, it's an easy answer, I know, but everything that predates December 2016, it's a hearsay. But since then, it's a quite active community. You're part of it, and we regularly meet, and yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting. You're welcome to join.
Good to know. Thank you.
So how close is it to get into recommendation?
It lost. So Shekel is now the recommendation, I think, and it's not going to be a recommendation, I think. But this is something we should ask Eric, I guess. So the Shekel won the battle. as the W3C standard, but yeah, that's about it. We are now in the community group exploring if we should go for ISO or whether we could briefly state that, well, it's being used, it's being developed, it has an active community, and it's doing the job. So, but that's up for discussion.
So then, what do we adopt? Do we adopt the CX or SACL?
Who said yes? My personal answer would be Shax, and there are two reasons for it. Is I started using Shax before you had this recommendation battle, and I didn't bother to learn the other language because it was already doing my task. On the other side is the thing that I like most is what I just briefly discussed, saying it's the constraints of you can make combinations of shapes, and you can do the constraints like what I said about the start and the end location being mandatory. That is something specific for Shax, and that's not standard default in Shackle.
Are there converters
within the two? Are there converters?
Yes, I mean it was what I was going to say. The decision about Shax or Shackle. Might be important, but not so huge because there are currently working converters. Shackless. It's the name of the current one. No.
There.
Don't you think so?
No, I don't think so. But maybe I don't understand it, Shack. But I couldn't manage there yet. But maybe that's my ignorance.
I think so. I mean, I'm not using it daily, but it was developed by my director at University of Oviedo, and I think it's working now.
Okay, yeah. I need to recheck. Also, but this is also that I didn't start looking. I have the impression there are more implementations for Shack than in Shackle. Shackle is bound to one or two commercial implementations, where you have like five implementations in open source implementations in Shacks that helps in developing. Other questions? Okay. Then we're done, I guess, right?
Yeah. Thank you.